Lecture 34, Stalemate in 1864.
With this lecture, we bring Ulysses S. Grant to center stage in the military drama of the war. We've seen his great success in the West, and that great success, extending through 1862 and 1863, brought him the post of General-in-Chief of United States Armies in the spring of 1864. In this lecture, we'll look at his strategic planning for the Western Theater just before he was promoted to General-in-Chief. Then we'll come east with him to Washington and Virginia, where he planned for the entire Union military effort across the board in the spring of 1864. And then we'll look at three failures of execution by Union commanders as Grant's strategy went into effect in early and mid-May of that year of 1864. But let's begin with Grant out west and get him promoted to General-in-Chief. We left him last time in the wake of the Union victory at Chattanooga in November 1863. Following that success for the North, there ensued a winter season of planting and not really much significant action of any kind in Virginia. George G. Meade and his Army of the Potomac faced Robert E. Lee and the Army of Northern Virginia, engaged in some winter sparring, I think would be a good way to put it, in the Mine Run campaign before settling into winter quarters along the old Rappahannock-Rapidan River frontiers. James Longstreet's Confederate Army was bogged down in an ineffective siege of Knoxville. A little was happening in the Trans-Mississippi, and Joseph Johnston replaced Braxton Bragg as commander of the Army of Tennessee in North Georgia. Grant looked toward a master plan for action in his huge Western Theater. Remember, he commands the area that Henry Halleck had commanded after his initial successes in the spring of 1862. What Grant had in mind as he looked toward what should happen in the West was a type of campaigning, a type of warfare that scholars, some scholars anyway, have come to call a strategy of exhaustion. Strategy of exhaustion. This is not the same as a strategy of attrition. A strategy of attrition seeks to wear down the manpower of your opponent, to kill or maim or capture as many of the enemy's soldiers as possible and remove them as effective tools for your enemy. Grant's strategy of exhaustion, in contrast, sought to destroy the logistical underpinnings of the Confederate war effort, to strike at the industrial capacity, at the transportation network, at the food production and distribution capacity of the Confederacy. If we do that, argued Grant, we don't have to kill their soldiers or capture them or wound them, because the Confederate government will not be able to arm and clothe those soldiers and, in effect, will accomplish the same thing. So a strategy of exhaustion, quite different from a strategy of attrition. Grant, as most commanders on both sides, understood very well how hard it was literally to destroy an enemy army. Now, Grant had managed to accomplish it twice. He had captured a Confederate army at Fort Donelson back in February of 1862, and he did it again at Vicksburg in July of 1863, but that almost never happened. And in both those instances, Grant had been up against second-rate Confederate leaders, Floyd and Pillow, initially for the Confederates at Fort Donelson, and then Pemberton at Vicksburg. He couldn't count on being up against second-rate Confederate soldiers in the future. The principal Confederate commanders in the field were Joseph Johnston in the West, who was able, at least in comparison to these other Confederates, and of course Robert E. Lee in the East. Knowing how many soldiers it took to protect long lines of communication and supply, Grant decided not to try to occupy permanently large parts of the Confederacy. As Union armies sliced into the Confederacy, said Grant, we don't have to keep control over every mile of ground we gain. We should just go through and continue on our way without trying to protect all that land. We should conduct what in effect are large-scale raids. We'll destroy things as we go along, destroy anything that could be valuable to the Confederacy as we go along, and we don't have to occupy the territory. We'll do our damage without allocating all the men and resources necessary actually to occupy huge chunks of this vast Confederate countryside.